I preached part one this morning. I preached the start of the message this morning, and that's going to be part two. I rarely preach part one and part two, but there was so much here and so much of it. I preached part one. It was about 50 minutes this morning, and I'm going to try to get part two under 50 minutes. Under 30. I try to do 30 on Sunday. We'll see how it goes. But I preached on the seal of the Holy Spirit, and I preached a little, this morning on He sealed the deal. Amen. I will say He sealed, there was a seal of salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. It said over there, it said when you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that you believed, it said that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the very second you got saved, my friend, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit of God, it came in and it sealed the deal right then. Amen. There's a seal of salvation. Then we talked about the seal of sanctification. When God saved you, the Holy Spirit of God, He came in and He cleansed you and He made you pure and holy and He set you aside from this world and He sanctified you. Amen. Talked about the seal of supplication. And I love that. Over there in Romans chapter 8, it says over there, it said that the Holy Spirit of God maketh intercession for us. It said, for we know not what we ought to pray. We all have unspoken requests. That's what most of what we have. But it said the Holy Spirit making intercession for us, for we know not what we ought to pray, and yet He makes groanings for us which cannot be uttered. We got the greatest prayer warrior that ever lived living inside of us, the Holy Spirit of God. There's a seal of salvation. There was a seal of sanctification. There was a seal of supplication. That prayer warrior that intercedes in our life. And I say we got the seal of security. The good thing about that seal, nobody can break it. The devil can't break it. The flesh can't break it. Your sin can't break it, brother. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Nobody can break that seal. If the devil could break one, it'd break them all. If your sin could break that seal, you would have broken 2 minutes after you got saved. I want to say there's a seal of salvation, the seal of sanctification, and the seal of supplication, and the seal of security. Brother, I believe in the seal of eternal security is what I believe. And I will give you three tonight. I want to say the next one, turn to Matthew chapter 27. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He sealed the deal. In Matthew chapter 27, here's where they crucify the Lord. Matthew chapter 27. And I want to talk about one, my first point. I want to preach on the seal of the sepulcher. The seal of the sepulcher. And that word sepulcher is a Latin word. And it means to bury. That's what it means. It means to entomb. It means to put you in the grave. That's what it means. That sepulcher, when you go to the funeral, that whole thing deals with a sepulcher. And there's the seal of the sepulcher. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Here's where the Lord was crucified. Matthew chapter 27 verse 6. He says this. And they laid in His own new tomb, which He had thrown out of a rock. And He rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. That stone was 4 tons, is how big it was. That big stone they rolled to the door of the sepulcher where they faced the Lord in. He was in a rock. And there was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting against the sepulcher. And the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure to the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. I love Pilate's answer. This is a message right here. I don't have time to get into it. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way and make it as sure as you can. You know what Pilate knew? He knew they wasn't going to keep him down. That was a little sarcastic. He said, you make it sure as you can. And so they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. You know what they did? They sealed that sepulcher trying to keep the Lord Jesus Christ in. And the Bible said they set a watch and they had 16 guards guarding that sepulcher. 16 Roman legions. Some of the greatest guards in history. Those guys were so dedicated, if they left their post, Miss Rachel, they would take them and burn them to death. They'd strip them of their own clothes and burn them to death in their own clothes. And there are 16 of them there to guard that sepulcher. And Pilate said, hey, you guys make it sure as you can. There's the seal of the sepulcher. I want to ask you, how did that go? How did that go? Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Look at Matthew chapter 28. They laid a great rock of 4 tons over there. They put 16 guards on that thing to seal that sepulcher, to keep him in. Good luck! Good luck with that one. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. The end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. It came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead man. There's those 16 guards right there. They shook and became as dead man. And I want to tell you this morning, the seal of the sepulcher, that day the Lord Jesus Christ broke the seal of the sepulcher by the Holy Ghost of God. Whoa, isn't that good? Whoa! Ah, take your Bible now, turn over to Romans chapter 8. I got news for you. You can't keep a good man down. Amen. There's the seal of that. You know what they try to do to me and you? You know what they do when they bury us, Miss Rachel? They try to seal us in the grave. They'll take us and they'll put us in a steel casket and lock us in. They'll dig a hole 6 feet deep and pour 4 tons of dirt on us. That 6 feet of dirt on top of you is about 4 tons of dirt, and they're trying to seal you down. But I got news for them. That seal was broken. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Watch this. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the seal of the Holy Ghost. God sealed you. He sealed you not in, but He sealed you out of that sepulcher. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. This is good. Woo! Only God could write this now. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I preached about that this morning. It's that seal of salvation. If you don't have that, you're not saved. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now watch this. Watch this, verse 11. Watch it, watch it. But in the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit which dwelleth in you. I want to tell you, He broke the seal of that sepulcher. I got the same Spirit living inside me that sealed me that day, Brother Ben, that was in Jesus Christ. And just like who came up, I'm not going in that stinking grave. They might seal, oh then, I'm not getting in it. There's a seal of the sepulcher. They put a seal on us. Put us in that old seal casket. Put 6 feet of dirt on top of you. 4 tons. I looked it up on the internet. 4 tons. They want to make sure you're not getting out. I got news from them, Brother Don. I'm not getting in. I'm leaving. Soon as the Lord called me, the absent from the body is present with the Lord. I just wanted to put a rock down there. I told my wife, if the Lord calls me, I don't want no tomb. I don't want nothing fancy. I want a rock or a piece of wood. I want my son just to get a can of spray paint and write on it, "Gone away with a friend." Brother David Beard, I love Brother David. Went home to be with the Lord. Glory to God. I'll be up there, Brother David. Will you save me a seat? Brother David, I had to call, arrange some of the funeral arrangements for Maggie and stuff, and I called the funeral director. And I asked him, I said, hey, he said, I saw where Billy Graham from prisoners made his casket. That's what they did. He was buried in the casket made by prisoners of Louisiana State. And the pad that was in it was just a pad they bought at Walmart. That's where they buried that great man of God in. And as that funeral director said, listen, they built his casket. Can I build mine? He says, you sure can. I said, you mean I can just build me a cardboard box or plywood? He said, absolutely. He said, we just ask you to put a little patent down in it somewhere. But he said, yeah. But I said, hey, listen, all I need is a cardboard box to get me and throw me in the hole, brother. I don't need nothing else because he's filled the sepulchre. I'm not in there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We saw it this morning. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. We're already in Romans chapter 8. Stick it. Hold on to Romans 8. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. See, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the seal of the sepulchre. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit sealed me that day. That seal of the sepulchre, He didn't seal me in. He sealed me out. I'm not going in it, brethren. There's a seal of the sepulchre. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, I got news for you. He's living in this boy right here. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Gave you this earlier this morning. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Romans chapter 3, 23, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 23. Waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1:18, where as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things. There's a redemption, that day of redemption. The Holy Ghost of God has sealed us until the day of redemption. And you know what He's going to do in that day? I tell you what He's going to do. He's going to reach over there and He's going to take that seal off. Woo! That's what I'm looking forward to. See, right now He's got a seal on me. He's got that seal of sanctification and nothing can touch it. No sin can enter in. No germs can enter in. But one day, brother, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. One day, my friend, I'm going to tell you what He's going to do. You're sealed. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Because when that day of redemption comes, my friend, there won't need to be a seal. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Come down to verse 13. Here's what we read earlier, in whom we, or whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, that salvation, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, that's good. Therefore, which, verse 13, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased present possession unto the praise of His glory. What are you trying to say? God sealed us. And that which is, that Holy Spirit of God has sealed us, which is the earnest of our inheritance. I talked about that earnest a little bit this morning. That earnest money is when you take a down payment on your house or something. That means you're earnest, you're serious. And the Holy Spirit of God was God's earnest money to tell you the purchase possession is coming. And you know when that happens, brother? That's when this old body goes in the ground. That's when this soul leaves that body. And that's that day of redemption. And brother, when that happens, I want to tell you, there's the seal of the sepulchre. You won't need to have a seal then. You don't need the seal of sanctification, brother. You'll be sanctified and in heaven at that point. You don't need the Holy Spirit seal in heaven. You'll be part of it. You don't need the earnest of your inheritance. You've already got your inheritance then. You've got the purchased possession. That Bible said in Psalms 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but is it written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. You never even thought about it, friend.
Amen.
You know my favorite. You know what my favorite services are? They're Christian funerals. I love them. I love them. I love them. I love to go to Christian funerals. And when I know somebody like Miss Michelle, somebody like Brother David Beard that's walked with God, brother, and they just step out of this old body, step out of this old world, and they just step into that purchased possession and get that earnest of their inheritance that day, and that day of redemption, brother Don, that seal is lifted off. You don't need that seal no more. You part of the seal then, brethren. There's that seal of the sepulchre. There's that purchased possession. There's that day, brother. I tell you, I love them. I love to preach them. I love them. You know what that is for a child of God? Miss Rachel, that's graduation day. I love them Christians' funerals. Brother David Beard, man, had the honor of preaching his here September the 27th. My best friend on this earth. Led that old boy to the Lord about 23 years ago. 17 years in prison. What a reprobate. That old guy's one of the greatest soul winners I've ever been around in my life. Man, I got grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-great-great-great-grandkids, spiritual grandkids through that man, all over the place. That night, about 4 o'clock, we went there that day to see him. Thank God we went that day. We was thinking about going the next day. We waited the next day. He went home to heaven. About 4 o'clock that morning, I still got on my phone. I got a text from Maggie. It said, "Brother Terry, David's in heaven now." You say, "What was that, preacher?" I want to tell you, that was the day of redemption. And I preached that message about Brother David. I said the greatest day of David's life was last Tuesday, that day he took the last breath. That was what his whole life was about. That was a day of redemption. You see, there's that seal of that sepulcher. I don't need the seal of that. The Holy Spirit of God, I've been sealed. I love them Christian funerals. You know the one I'm really looking forward to, Miss Frieda? You know the Christian funeral I'm really looking forward to, don't you? This one right here. This one right here. I mean, bless God, if God takes me home and I'm still around here and you guys are running, I'm going to tell you, y'all get around, run around this building, Brother Ben, everything you've got, and you shout it out, say, "Glory to God. Hey, God, that old crazy preacher, he got out of this place and got home." Because I'm going to tell you, that's what I'll be doing up there. And I'm trying to get a little practice while I'm down here, by the way. I like old Brother Rex Harrison. I heard him preaching one time. And it was one of his short messages. I think it was about 3.5 hours. He walked around those crutches all around the building. And he said, "You know what? Here's some of you old sad sack Baptists, when you get to heaven," he said, "I'm going to ask God to let me be out of the gate when you walk in, if I get up there for you." And he said, "When you walk in that gate and go in that pearly white gate and go on that streets of gold and step in and you go through it and you go, 'Wow! Hallelujah!' He said, "I'm going to be right there and give you a good kick in the britches. And I want to say, 'See there, dummy, I told you so.'" Some of you need some "I told you so," amen. I want to say there's a seal of the sepulcher. Not only that, take your Bible, turn over to Esther chapter 8. And let's go to Daniel. And then we're going to go back to Romans in a few places. There's a seal of that sepulcher. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." At graduation day, you don't need that seal. You know what it's like, them old canned fruits I talked about this morning. They take them fruits and they put them in them can, them ladies do, and put that wax lid on there that pops down there and seals that thing. And the day comes, Miss Scanner, when they get ready to open that thing, the day of redemption, and they'll open up that can. Somebody go back there, and that can might be sitting there for 50 years, and they'll open that can and pop that boy open, and it'll be as fresh as the day they put it in there. You know what that is? That's the day of redemption. And they'll open up that seal. There's a seal of the sepulcher. Not only that, look at Esther chapter 8. I told you about that seal. That seal, it means to secure. It means to fix. It means to fasten. And something else about that seal, it means to imprint or to mark or to sign or authenticate. It means it was like a seal of the notary public. It means you'll take that image and put it down there. Look at Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8 verse 8. "Write ye also to the Jews, as it liken you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which in the king's name is sealed with the king's ring, and no man can reverse it." What they do back in those days, they'd take their whatever they had. What they'd do, they'd take and they'd dip wax down there, like this right here. They take that wax when they sign that deal. and they'd sign that proclamation, whatever it was, Brother Ben, and they'd take that wax while it's still hot, and they'd catch the king's ring and have his image on it, his insignia, whatever it was, his signet, the Bible calls it, and they'd take that ring and they'd push it down into that wax, and they'd put that image of that king's ring in that wax, and it would seal the deal. And you can't remove that wax, see? It won't come off. You know what we do nowadays? Here's kind of what we do. Like a notary public, you know what they'll do? They'll take their little old notary public kind of thing and they'll squash that thing down, and that's called a seal. And you can do everything you want to do. You can flatten that thing out, but you can't get that seal out. You know what that seal is? That's an image of what you just put down. You know what God's going to do? He's going to seal you with the signet of His Son. God's going to put the image of His Son in you and I. There's a seal of His Son in the Holy Spirit. Over there in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 says this. Daniel chapter 6, 17. And the stone was brought. It laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. That was that ring. That word signet, our word signature comes from it. That's the thing that identifies you. That's your mark of identification. And God's going to take the seal of the signet of His Son, brother, and seal us with it. We're going to be just like Him. We're going to have His image. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And go to 1 John chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. To what are you trying to say? There's a seal of His Son. We're going to have His image. We're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God's going to take that seal just like that king did and take that ring and put that image of that ring in that glass, in that wax. God's going to take the seal of His Son, Jesus Christ, and you and I be just like Him. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, whom are called according to the purpose. In whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated. Foreknowledge always comes before predestination. Calvin had it backwards. God knows what you're going to do. And after He knows, He predestinates. He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. That we might be the firstborn of many. Hey, I want to tell you, my friend, there's a seal of His Son. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, Jesus, my blessed Savior. Stamp that old image deep in my heart, that old song says. There's a seal of His Son. One day God will just take that image. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. This is good, man. 1 John chapter 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. 1 John 3, 1. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Watch this, watch this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, you're not looking at the final product. You're not looking at the purchased possession. Like that song says, He's still working on me to make me what He ought to be. It took Him just a week to make us moon and the stars. But He's still working on me. Look at that verse. Philippians, beloved, now we are called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah! Brother, we'll have the seal of His Son. God will take that image of that Son, brother, and it'll be us. Look it over Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. God took the signet of His Son, my friend. You know what He did? He put that old image of that Son in me and you. When God looks at me, you know what He sees right now? That standing. I preach about that standing and stay. That state changes all the time. That's that fellowship. But that standing with God, when God sees me, He sees the image of His Son. That's that doctrine of imputation I preached about a while back. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Philippians 3, 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall change our vile body. I tell you what, I'm looking for a new body, aren't you? Amen. For He shall change our vile body, that it may be flashing like His glorious body. Hello to make a Baptist shout right there, brother. I want to tell you, He sealed us with the image of His Son. Amen. God took that thing. stamped his image on us. J. Vernon McGee writes in his commentary about this. He said the second purpose of the sealing is to denote rightful ownership. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Holy Spirit is the seal that guarantees that God is going to deliver us. We are sealed into the day of redemption. This is a twofold purpose. Today, he said, the day will come when the Holy Spirit will deliver us to Christ. We are just like a letter that is insured. In the old days, they would put a seal on it. Today, they put a stamp on the special stamp. And it still is the post office that guarantees that delivered. Jesus Christ, God sealed us with the image of His Son. And He said this, there's a twofold purpose in the sealing of the work of the Holy Spirit. He implants the image of His Son upon the heart to give the reality to the believer. God has implanted His image to us. I want to tell you this morning, I have been signed, I've been sealed, and I'm waiting for delivery, brother. I'm just waiting for delivery and waiting for that final purchase possession one day, and God will lift that seal that day. Take your green hymn book. Take your green hymn book and turn to page 429. I want to show you this. Page 429 in the green hymn book. 429 in the green hymn book. Written by our good friend, Mr. Charles Wesley. We just sang that one. He sung, "And Can It Be?" This is one of the great Christmas songs we sing. And this song is loaded in doctrine, brethren. "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Mr. Wesley wrote that. "Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ the highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel." Boy, isn't that good? Look at this third verse, man. You saw what he's talking about. I'm talking about the seal of His Son. God reached down there and stamped His image on us. Look at this verse, this third verse. Oh, Wesley, He gives you something. The third verse, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light in life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth." Boy, isn't that good? Look at this last verse, man. "Come, desire of nations, come. Fix us in thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruising us the serpent's head." That's Genesis 3. Watch this. "Adam's likeness now efface." You know what that efface means? It means erase. It means to remove the face of Adam on me and you. That sin face and that image of Adam. It said Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. You see what he's talking about, preacher? He's talking about that seal of His Son. Stamping that image of His Son in its place. I want to say there's a seal of the sepulcher. There's a seal of the Son. I want to give you one more. And you know, I gave you a lot of seals this morning. And as I begin this message, like most messages, I probably put 50 hours or more, probably a lot more than that in this message. I've had this message for quite a while. Most messages I preach, they're years in the making. Listen, I've never preached it before. I've worked on it for years and years, and God finally says, "Open it up." But as I studied this message and looked up commentaries and prayed about it and walked around the park about it, there was one seal that just kept showing up in my mind, Miss Rachel. And it was that shadow sitting out there, Brother Ben. And there was a seal out there that just kept showing up. And it was one they wouldn't expect it. And I call it the seal of sorrows. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, we got the seal of salvation. We got the seal of sanctification. We got the seal of supplication. We got the seal of security. We got the seal of the sepulcher. We got the seal of His Son. I could have preached about the seal of simplicity. I could have preached about the seal of supply. I could have preached a lot of, but then there was that seal of sorrows that was sitting out in the side over there, Brother Ben. I got thinking about it as I started looking at this message and studying this message. I started seeing something else in there. And all the celebration and jubilation, there was that other seal just kept coming up. And take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And this seal was unexpected when I started this message. Like a lot of times you preach a message and these preachers know you preach a message and all of a sudden something else will come this way out of nowhere. And I know it was the Holy Spirit that put this in here. And I was thinking about this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says this. 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you and all malice, and be a kind one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God's Christ's sake hath forgiven. You know what that verse said? It said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed under the day of redemption. You know what you can do? And he lists a few of them right there, give you some examples. You know what you and I can do? Very easily, and we do. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. You're sealed until the day of redemption. He is never going to leave you. No matter what you do, no matter what you put in your mouth, what matter comes out of your mouth, whatever you watch, whatever you pick up, whatever you say, whatever bitterness, anger, hatred, whatever it might be, laziness, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. He's got to put up with it. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Because He can't leave. He's got to take it. You ever been in a situation? I'm sure you have. You ever been in a situation where it's just so peachy? Maybe just so nasty at work in a situation, and it just made your stomach turn. And you just said, I got to get out of this mess. This is ridiculous. You know what you and I can do? We can walk away. He can't walk away from us, Miss Rachel. Whatever we do, He's got to put up with it. No matter we thoughts in our mind, He knows it. He knows it. It said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. He can't leave us. He's stuck with us. No matter what we go through, no matter what we say, and whether we lay our Bible down and don't read it, don't feed the Spirit, man, He's got to put up with it. You say, well, I can't leave. You can't just walk out. He said, I'll neither leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what that word grieve means? It means an intense pain by loss, misfortune, or injury. It comes from the word grave. That's what it means. It comes from grave. You ever laid a loved one in the grave? You know what that is? That's grieving. That's when you hurt so bad. That's when that pain is so real. That's what happens to the Holy Spirit of God in our life. We grieve Him. And He can't walk out. Whatever we do, He has to put up with it. We know how bad it might get. He's got to put up with it. Turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. That word grieve is a serious word, my friend. That Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Another time, you know what it says too? It says, resist not the Spirit. Another time, 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, quench not the Spirit. You know what we do? We affect Him in our lives. And it's a seal of sorrows, because everything we do, He's got to tolerate it. He can't walk out. He can't say, man, I can't stand that. I'm getting away from that television show. I'm getting away from that. He's got to sit right there with you. He can't get up and turn the channel. He's got to put up with it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 6, here's the Lord. You know what happened? He made man. Man fell. The sons of God called the daughters of man came into him and all that stuff. And the Bible said, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a good testimony of man right there. And it repented the Lord that He had made man. It said, God said, I wish I wouldn't have made man. It repented the Lord that He had made man, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man from whom I've created from the face of the earth. He said, every beast, every creeping thing, and the fowls were repenting me that I made him. I mean, God was so grieved that day. It hurt him so much. He said, I wish I'd never made this wicked man. I'm going to destroy everything out there. It's so bad. That's what happens. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I think of that. I preached a message here a while back, a few years ago, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I preached about those children. And one of the points about those children, I had a point, I said they've got an infectious innocence about them. You know, we get around children, Miss Rachel, we get around little babies. You know what? We clean up, don't we? There's things we'll do around other people and adults, but we get around that pure, beautiful, innocent little baby, and boy, we clean up. We don't want to do that around our children. No way. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God is 10 million times more pure and innocent than that little baby. This lady I used to work with, her name was Sherry. She worked for me at UAB. And she was a nice looking girl, smart girl. My goodness, she had a mouth like a toilet. I mean, that girl cursed every word come out of her. And I'm not talking about the number ones, I'm talking about the triple X's. And they'd come out of her mouth like you wouldn't believe, man. And she had two little kids at home. Her husband was a policeman. He died of cancer a little bit later. And boy, I mean, she had cursed. I mean, it was unbelievable come out of her mouth. That's one thing I like working about Baptists. You couldn't curse at Baptists, they'd write you. I'd pull people in my office for it, said, clean it up, clean it up. Because it was against the rules there, human resources, that Christian play. They played by the rule too. But UAB, man, you just... Boy, she did. She just cursed some of the most filthy things you ever heard in your life. And this old girl, Kathy, that worked with us too, one day, Kathy said, she said, Sherry, she said, I don't see how anybody puts up with you. She said, do you talk that way around your children? And I'll never forget her, Brother Monk. She looked at me and she said, oh no. Oh no. These are not words for little ears. You see, that Holy Spirit of God, He's a whole lot more pure and innocent than that little kid. And you know what we do? We grieve Him. It's a seal of sorrows. Acts chapter 5, you know what goes on over there. There's old Ananias and Sapphira, and they sell their money and all that stuff and all that kind of business. And Peter said, hey, did y'all sell it for such and such money, Ananias? He said, oh yeah. And Peter said, you liar. You didn't sell it for that. He didn't give his tithe. He didn't do what he's supposed to be doing. He wouldn't give him the Lord. He said, you ain't lying to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. You know what you do? You lie to the Holy Ghost. You tithing, by the way. You know what? You're robbing God if you don't. I preached on that a while back. That's Bible. You know what you're doing? You're not lying to me. You're lying to God. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. Peter said, you're not lying to man. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. You know what you can do? You can grieve Him. You can lie to Him. Brother Billy Bass, I love old Brother Billy. Every time we do something, I'll call Brother Billy. I said, Brother Billy, you don't come sing with us? Boy, he comes in. He's usually here before we're here. Isn't he? He'll be out in the parking lot waiting. I love that old guy. He's just a humble old guy. Loves God. Gets up there with his little instruments and plays and sings, and it just blesses my heart. He sings that song on "The Lord Still Lives in This Old House." Y'all remember that one? I love that song. One part of that song says this, the last verse. There are times he had the right to turn and walk away. And there were times it just took His great amazing grace to stay. But He never left this old house once. That's why I can sing and shout. Because all these old years, the Lord still lives in this old house. The thing is, Amen. He can't turn around and walk away, no matter how bad it gets. J. Vernon McGee said in his commentary, he said, under the day of redemption, He seals you the day and when He presents you to the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer cannot unseal his work, which continues to the day of redemption. But the believer can grieve Him. What is the great difference between Christians today and yesterday? Here's what he said. The real difference is that today's Christians live with a grieved Holy Spirit today. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. I want to say this morning, there's a seal. There's a seal of sorrows. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says this. It said, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, but in malice be ye children." You know what malice means? It means meanness and unkindness. That little children, that little child, he's so pure and he's so innocent. That Bible says, be ye malice as children. Because children, they don't have that meanness. So what are you trying to say? There's a seal of sorrows. Whatever you do, he's got to put up with it. Whatever you see, he's got to put up with it. He can't just walk away. And he's more pure and innocent than that little baby. Father, we pray your blessing now upon this message, God. Pray, God, you'd help us, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, and love you and praise you and get excited about you for the seal of the Holy Spirit. That we know we're sealed into the day of redemption, Lord. We know that we were sealed after we believe with that Holy Spirit of promise, and we're waiting for that earnest of our inheritance, Lord, that purchased possession, Lord. And Lord, all these great promises, that seal of salvation, seal of supplication. We got a great prayer warrior, that seal of sanctification, seal of security, the seal of the sepulcher, the seal of the Son, and that seal of sorrows, God. Help us, Lord, to realize, Father, that inside us lives the Holy Spirit, and He grieves sometimes, Lord. Help us to be conscious. Help us to be cognizant, Lord, and aware, Father, the innocence that lives in us, God. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Miss Jana, coming out tonight. Thank you, she's better, Lord. Pray your blessing upon the ones that wouldn't hear tonight, Father. Pray your blessing on the week coming up tonight, Lord. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.